I don't know if anybody realizes how blessed I feel today. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have prayed and I've asked God. I said, God, it'd be nice to have a building. I know everybody's heart is not like mine. So I know that. And but one of the things I told God, I said, God, if somebody give us a building, it had to come free. I don't want no anything else. Plus, I don't know, Ed would not say, let's go get a loan. And that's really how that's not how you should really do it. And I prayed. And I've prayed that for many years, and I've told God that I'd be driving in the car, and I said, Lord, it'd be nice to have a building. Now, I love where we were, but I always, it's been a desire. And God is good. And here's the thing. When you ask God for something and he give it to you, don't complain. Don't complain. Don't look and see all the negative and see all what you got to do and how hard it's going to be. And God is going to be with you once you obey. We sang a song this morning. I want to get it. I didn't write it down. We sang a song this morning, and I really believe that God can take us from where we are today to where he wants us to be, right here in this neighborhood. You know, I'll be honest with you. I drive around this neighborhood, and I said to myself, I wouldn't want my child running around here. But God has a way of doing things that we don't understand. What our job is to say, yes, Lord. Yes. And I think I have a message, you know. If I get to it, hallelujah. And I think what God is trying to say to us this morning is this. We need to step up and do what God has called us to do. Let me see if I find a song. Now, we sing this. But how many of us live this? Remember, we sing this. We lift up our hands. I looked around, some people as worshipful in this song. Here's the thing. In the message this morning, we're going to touch a little bit on covenant. Some of these songs we sing, we make in a covenant. Yes. And when we leave through the doors, we break the covenant. Listen what we sang this morning. I would live to carry your compassion, to love a world that's broken, to be your hands and feet. I will give with the life that I've been given and go beyond religion to see the world be changed by the power of your name, by the power of your name. Surely life wasn't made to regret, and the loss were not made to forget. Surely faith without action is dead. Let your kingdom come. Lord, break this heart. As we were singing that song, I'm saying to myself, that's what we need. We need folks that when we leave here, we are committed with the covenant that we are making every Sunday when we sing songs And then we leave here and we forget that we were to carry his compassion. We forget that the world, we need to love a world that's broken. We forget that we need to be his hands and his feet. I really believe, this is my belief, I believe if we all will walk according to the will of God in our lives, we will see some great things. A person told me this. She says, God answers your prayer, but he doesn't answer mine. Folks, I've seen God work in mighty ways. I'm 55 years old, and I could truly say like David, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I just want to praise God this morning. I thought about it, and I said, boy, I wish we could just have like a celebration. Just like a celebration. We may not feel to celebrate. Because we don't like change. We don't. Because everybody thought I was, woohoo, yeah, here we going, we're going. But let me tell you, I woke up, can't remember what morning I woke up, and my heart was just racing. I mean, I racing. I went and get my blood pressure thing, check it, and it's racing. And I'm thinking, why is my heart racing? And I'm thinking, all this anxiety about going in. We do not know what to expect when we walk with God. But you could expect this. He will be with you. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you may be part of the six that probably didn't want this to happen. Maybe. And maybe you're part of the other group that didn't want this to happen. Maybe. But it happened. And God's, let me tell you this, nothing, did we say this last time I preached? Nothing takes God by surprise. In fact, God knew we were going to be here this morning. God knew before the world began that we were going to be here. God knew that this was going to be the place that was going to call Shalom Christian Fellowship. He knew that. He knew that. God, let me tell you, I don't understand how God works. I don't know how God works. I don't know why God answers some people's prayer and why he doesn't answer others. I can't tell you this, but I know that I serve a covenant-making God. And when you have a covenant with God, it goes both ways. God calls you and he makes a covenant and he's committed to you and you need to get committed to him. In spite of what happens. Help me, Jesus. Folks, I tell you this. This is a God thing. It's been a God thing from the beginning. And if we are not careful, we'll miss it. I tell this, God don't need us. God don't need us at all. But he wants us. He wants us. So I'm going to encourage you this morning to give it 100%. To give it 100%. My desire, what's our mission statement been for forever is going from where you are to where God wants you to be. And then later on we added making every step count. My desire is to see a growing youth group.
My desire is to see a growing children's ministry. But here's the thing. We're not going to get there if we are all not on the same ship. If we are not, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, because they are in unity, we need to stop them because they're going to make it up to heaven. We need to, you see that unity they have right there? They can accomplish the task. Now, I don't know if there was any grumblers and complainers when they were building that tower, but I know this. They all had one mind and one aim, and they were making one brick at a time. And I was watching, my wife liked to watch the History Channel, and they were talking about that and how they made the bricks and how they used a little bit of tar, and they could still find some of the bricks somewhere and whatever. And I'm thinking, that was hard work. When God calls us, it's not always easy work. It's hard work. And some of us, we don't like hard work. Something's going to have to change. We can't do business as usual. We have to change. I can't remember who said it, if you keep doing the same thing and you expect a different result, you're insane. Let us not be titled as people that are insane. And I just want to praise God. I just want to praise God. I want to celebrate my God, because you may not see it, but brothers and sisters, I see it. I see it clearly. Let me tell you, I told Shalom before we move. I didn't tell anybody when we were praying about moving. I didn't tell anybody, and this is mostly, I want you all to know my heart. I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want anybody to feel like I am influencing their decision. I wanted it to be their decision. But I remember when I first walked through that door, the first day when Hank opened the door, and I walked through that door, the first words that came to my mind was home. When I first came to the United States, I was looking for a church. I lived in Florida. And as I walked through the door of that church, for the first time, I didn't hear anybody preach. I didn't hear any worship. I didn't meet any of the people. I was walking in the door, and soon as I walk in the door, God said, home. And there's where I stayed until I left for college. And I got the same when I walked through that door. And I didn't explain that to anybody. I was waiting to see what God would do. Here's one of the things, guys. When God works on your behalf, you don't have to fight to keep anything. But if you have to fight for something, you have to fight to keep it. But if you let God do it for you, if you would allow God to work through you, then you don't have to fight to keep anything, because God will be the keeper of everything. For the benefit of the new folks, when I was 5 years old, my mother came home and she said, I was the darkest one of my mom. All my brothers were very fair in complexion, except later on she did get another son that was darker than me, and I praise God. But I was the darkest one, and she came home and she said to me, I met this older lady that I was helping with groceries, and she said that you have a dark son. Your dark son, he's going to be a preacher. I was 5 years old.
And
I did not finish high school. I probably would have probably an 8th grade education, but in reading, probably kindergarten. And when God called me and sent me to college, which is a long story, I could not read any of the books in college, pretty much. And let me show you what, how God, I want you to, what the reason I'm telling you this is because I believe God is leading me to tell you this. I want to show you that when God calls you and he starts something, God knows how to take it to where he needs it to go. And I was living in Florida, and my grandmother's sister was living there, and she couldn't take me anymore, and she put me out. I couldn't work because I didn't have a green card or anything. I was fresh air. And I went to live with a lady in the church. And that lady in the church lived opposite a school. And opposite that school, there would be a guy on a bicycle that would ride by every day. I'll see him. And when God opened the door for me to go to Coa Falls College, I didn't know how I was going to get there. I went to a crusade and I met George. There he is over there. I met George at the crusade. And he said to me, my brother goes to Tocoa, you'll get a ride. God put things in. Get to Tocoa, and I couldn't read. God sent me to college and I can't read. I get to Tocoa. And George didn't go to Tocoa yet. George stayed home. I had a roommate. And the guy across the hall from me would read the textbook and I would follow. Now remember, I have no financial, nobody paying for my college. I can't get any scholarship because I'm a foreigner. And I think it's a week later, I can't remember how long it took. George says he's coming to the school. I got that from the campus pastor that George was coming. And I told my roommate, I have a friend coming, if he could leave, so my friend could room with me. So George moved in, and we actually stayed in the college in the same room until George got married, pretty much. And let me show you how God works. George would type my papers for me. Now, it had times I didn't like George. Because when I had a class with George, there was no curve. Because what the teachers would do, they would take the highest grade, which if it's 80, then they give that 80 100, and they give everybody below that 20 points. When George was in that class, he made 100. There was no curve. And I needed it. But here's the thing, folks. Do you know I never failed one class? Why? I did not want to go to college. I told God this. I said, God, if you're calling me to ministry, take me out in the wilderness and train me. And God said to me, no, I want you to go to college. And I obeyed. It was scary. One of the scariest things is getting a car in Florida and driving all the way to Tocoa Falls, which is a 10-hour drive. If you did that in my country, you'd fall off the edge. So that was a long drive, then in a strange place, no finances, and God paid every dime of my bill. When I graduated from college, I put 4 years of college into 5. I owed the college about $230-something dollars. Guys, God can do it again. And he can do it with us. But we got to be willing to obey. Was it easy? Do you know that after 2 weeks in college, I wanted to quit? I wanted to quit. And I wanted to quit bad. It was hard. I couldn't read. I couldn't take notes. I would take notes, but it was in tongues. And we didn't have any interpreter. And I wanted to quit. And let me say, God uses many things. And I got a call from my youth pastor in Florida, and he says, everybody is expecting to see you back in 2 weeks. And that changed my mind. It changed my mind, and I stayed there. If you ask my wife, if she wanted to find me, I was behind my desk studying. Folks, if God has placed us here for a purpose, God didn't do this just to give us a place to meet. Well, that's part of it. God did this because he wants us to make a change. And he wants to change our lives. And if we would just hold on and allow God to use us, we will go further than we think. Here's the thing. Some of the folks that has been here for a while, they may not like it when the curtain comes down.
Oh, I love it. Right away.
You know, if I was to come in and tear down the stage, some of you may cry.
No, not at all.
Okay. But here's the thing. We're probably going to get offended here and there. We probably will. We have a whole lot of different type of personalities involved. But if we would hold on, somebody's going to give you a call like that call I got. They want you back. They're going to expect you to come back in 2 weeks. I pray that that will give you the motivation to hold on. Yeah, your car went in the pothole in the driveway and knocked your car out of alignment. Hold on. Yes, you come and the lawn have skid marks in it from a big old truck. Hold on. I really believe that God wants to do something with us. I don't know if you all feel it. Now, I know some of you don't like this, but me, I've prayed and I've asked God. I said, God, send me a bass player. Do you know how long I was praying that? We would have a bass player. He would come every now and then. I would pray that. Then I would say, Lord, I would love some drums. I know some people don't like drums. I know it. But I would love some drums. Maybe it's the island man in me. But then I see drums. Then I said, Victor should be up front. Why Victor plays that Congo drums in his seat? And then I told him this morning, good, you're up front now. Folks, you all just don't understand the joy that is in my heart. I mean, we work hard yesterday. I was here at 10 o'clock. No, we started at 10. We didn't get here at 10. We started at 10. We left about 10. 10 p.m. And I tell you this, it was hard. I went home and I took 3 ibuprofen and I went to bed. No, I took a shower and went to bed. But let me tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. We're going to have communion this morning. Somebody put up the red clock in the back. They were hoping that there would be no clocks. No, you can leave it. Yes, go ahead.
When you first started talking this morning, you said somebody told you your prayers are answered, but mine aren't. How long had you been praying for a building?
A long time.
You know what? God answered it when you first started praying.
Amen.
His answer was, not yet.
Amen. Yep.
The same for that other person that said, God hasn't answered my prayer. He's answering it, but it's not time yet.
It could be a no.
We had to get you a new roof first.
Amen. 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 Amen.
You didn't want it before the roof.
Let me tell you this.
30 years.
God knows what he's doing. Because if it didn't have a roof, I'd have a harder time. Yep. I'd have to spend more time on my knees. But, guys, God is good.
Amen.
Hey, let me tell you all something. I am not perfect. I have made some big mistakes. I have made some mistakes that preachers shouldn't make. I'm not perfect. But one thing I do know, I run straight to the Lord. I always run to the Lord. Always run to the Lord because I don't want to stay in sin. Because sin that has matured will bring death. And nobody should want mature sin in their life. Because mature sin will kill you. You know, I never understand when the scripture says there is a sin that is not unto death. I still don't fully understand it. But I know this. If you keep on sinning, the same thing over and over and over again, it's going to get mature. And when it's matured, try to stay a child that is mature. Try to take a child that's 24 and try to put some new stuff in it. Now, if that child been doing the right thing when the child is 24, good. But when it's 24, it's hard to bend. The same way with sin. If you let sin stay in your life, it's going to eat you alive. The scripture, now we've been studying the book of Matthew, and we're going to go there. And it's Matthew chapter 26. And verse 26, starting at verse 26. I'm not going to preach my sermon. But before we start, there is Super Bowl tonight. Now, I don't have a team, but I'm going to root for the 49ers only because I live close to Highway 49. Hey, I had to figure out somehow to choose a team. And remember, you all are invited at my house to watch the Super Bowl. You bring some finger food and stuff. And if you want to do a little target practice, come earlier. I think kickoff is 6:30, I think. 6:30? Okay, kickoff is 6:30. So if you want to do a little target practice, you need to come before the sun sets. 26:26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. We're going to stop there. I actually was going to go further, but we'll stop there and we'll just, one word, covenant. We'll just use that covenant. You know that every time we come and we partake of these elements, we're remembering a covenant that Jesus has made with us. And let me tell you, Jesus does not break his covenants. God is a covenant-keeping God. I wrote a few down because I didn't bring my computer cord with me, so I couldn't print anything. Noah got a covenant. God says, I will not destroy the earth again with water. I praise God for that. I almost drowned one time. So I thank God it's not going to be by drowning. Then God made a covenant with Abraham. And God kept his covenant. Then he made a covenant with Moses, and he kept his covenant. Then he made a covenant with David, and he kept his covenant. And because of the Davidic covenant, Jesus now gives us a covenant, because Jesus was part of the David covenant. God keeps his covenant. One verse, let's Jeremiah 31:31. Well, 33, we just read 33. But when you go home today, I want you to read that new covenant. But we started, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and teach his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities. Jesus. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. And I will remember their sin no more. This is the covenant. By his blood and by his body being broken for us, we have a covenant that Jesus died on the cross so that our sin will be remembered no more. As you come to the table today, I want you to realize that you are making a covenant. And that covenant is not one way. It's two ways. God made a covenant with you, and you making a covenant with him that you're going to serve him. So as we come to the table, George.
that is it. Jesus, Jesus. Father, we just want to let you know that we love you. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can partake of this special time of remembering what you have done by making such a covenant. And by the track record, you are a covenant-keeping God. So, Father, as we partake, we ask, God, that we would just look to you. Father, as we come, let us remember that we need to examine our lives. And if there's anything inside, we need to take care of it so that we can have a fresh start serving you with all our heart, our minds, and our soul. In Jesus' name. Jesus told his disciples this. is my body broken for you. Take it, eat it, and as often as you do remember. Father, we just want to remember today that what Jesus did, he was beaten, spat on, he carried a cross, he was nailed to that cross, his body receiving that brokenness for us. Covenant making. We thank you, Lord. Let us partake. You took the cup. You said, this is my blood poured out for you. Take it, drink it, and remember. Father, this morning we remember that we were lost. We were hell-bound. We were dead in our sins. We had no hope. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know that there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And we thank you, Lord God, for sending the perfect sacrifice. And this morning we remember the covenant that you have made with us. Help us, Lord God, to remember that we are covenant people and we are walking in a covenant relationship with our God. And we thank you for it. Let us partake together. Ed, can we sing one song and then we'll close?